Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Bruce Cockburn is one of Canada's most celebrated musicians. He's a member of the Canadian Music Hall of Fame and an officer of the Order of Canada. Bruce writes songs about love, protest, and spiritual discovery. His hits include Lovers in a Dangerous Time, If I Had a Rocket Launcher, and Wondering Where the Lions Are. M.D. Dunn has written a book that is much less a biography and more like a guidebook for Cockburn fans. It's called You Get Bigger As You Go. When he was 14 years old, M.D. discovered a cassette copy of Bruce's album Joy Will Find a Way. M.D. said listening to that album changed his life. Beta's resident musicologist Steve Gotcher sat down with M.D. to get the rest of the story.
Once I realized that I was writing a book, it started with, I was able to interview him for publication for a couple of magazines. And then I started this project of going back to listen to all of his music closely and just figure out what it meant to me. And once I realized I was writing a book, I was hoping to write that beginner's guide. And in my day job, I teach at a college. One of the courses I've taught for about 12 years is a music history course. And I've noted that every year, fewer people know about many of the classic artists and songwriters. And so very few people in their 20s have heard of Bruce Cockburn or his music. So I get the pleasure of introducing people in their 20s to this music that they haven't heard before. So I thought, well, I would very much like if Bruce's music survives and is passed along into the next generations. And I thought, well, maybe a guidebook might help in that for that purpose.
And I was glad you did it this way because it was, I mean, I've thought about this stuff because I'm probably as big a fan as you are, but anybody who isn't is really going to get some real insight into what this guy's all about. You came up with the title of this book, which is a lyric from Bruce Cockburn, You Get Bigger As You Go. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, out of all of the brilliant lines that Bruce has written, why you picked that particular one for your book.
Yeah, that album, that's from an album called Humans. And I knew that album a long time ago, but I'd sort of faded away from my memory. And I was, when I was going through all the albums again, that song really stood out. And I had this one moment where I was standing on the river here, where I live, and it was in the spring and the ice was breaking up. And I was listening to that album as I was walking along the river, and that song came on, and everything just kind of gelled perfectly. And it was just one of those moments where the song meant much more than it's ever meant to me. And it was like I was hearing it for the first time. That line,
you get bigger as you go. No one told me, I just know. Bales of memory like boats in tow. You get bigger as you go.
That really struck me, and I thought it kind of encapsulates what I was trying to do with the project, in that showing, yes, like Bruce's evolution as a musician and a writer as well as I could, and but also showing how music, how we grow into the music we love, you know, and how it helps us in our personal evolution and influences us. So that line really stood out for that reason. And I like the music of it.
When you first heard Bruce's music, was it a visceral thing? Did you immediately become attracted to it, or did you have to work with it for a while?
Yeah. The first album was Joy Will Find a Way. I was 14 years old and I knew his name. Recognized his name, kind of, but I didn't know anything about him. And which sounds strange for a Canadian kid, but I grew up in a town that was really focused on rock and roll, you know, so there wasn't a lot of Bruce Cockburn floating around. And I found the cassette version, and what attracted it to me, or me to it, was the cover, because it reminded me of a Cat Stevens album. It had this beautiful animation by Blair Drossin, sort of all these animals sitting around. And I put that on and it blew me away. I didn't really know what to make of it because it sounded unlike anything I'd heard before. I don't know if I'd really heard many folk albums in the way that is a folk album. And the guitar playing was something that I just started playing guitar, and I didn't even recognize it as a guitar. It was, how do you play a guitar like that? I have no clue. It was an instrumental called Skylarking. It's this beautiful guitar piece with, I think it just has percussion on it, maybe a couple other instruments in there as well. I'd heard guitar players, Leona Boyd, the classical guitar player, being Canadian, she was, you'd hear her everywhere. But this piece, Skylarking, I'd never heard a guitar played that way, had alternate tunings, which I didn't know anything about either at the time. And so I would say it struck me immediately, but I was kind of slow to catch on. And believe it or not, in Canada at that time, this would have been the early 80s, I had a hard time finding albums by Bruce Cockburn. I didn't have a lot of money either. So, and I must admit though, some of his music I found quite challenging throughout my life. And there were albums that would come out, I'd listen and I'd say, I don't really get this one.
Right. I remember first hearing Inner City Front when it came out, thinking, this sounds just a little bit more contemporary than I'm willing to go with. And somebody even said to me, one of the songs sounds like The Cars. And I was appalled. Yeah. Wanna Go Walking, I think, is the one. But I grew into it. What are the things that makes Bruce's music so unique over other kinds?
Oh, I think his musicality, for sure. Bruce is a very accomplished musician, guitar player. And that even shows in the way he writes. He writes usually lyrics first and then puts the music on top of them, like a musical score over the scene, which takes a lot of ability to do that effectively. So I think he has that. He has this prowess with his instrument, with the guitar, and his openness to influence by music that isn't North American probably makes his music quite unique as well.
Battered buses jammed up to the roof, dust and diesel the prevailing themes. Sleeping on the truck in front, feet trailing over like he's trolling for dreams. Smiling girl directing traffic flow, 45 strapped over cotton print dress. Marimba brown and graceful limbs, give me a moment of love.
In your book, a shorter section is devoted to Bruce as a writer, Bruce as an activist, Bruce's playing, and then you spend the rest of the book giving a synopsis of just about every album except the live ones. And you spend 16 years in an era you call becoming, a developmental period from 1970 to 1988, which covers 16 albums. Why is the becoming era so long?
Yes, that is unusual. Well, I think in that span of time, we see sort of his complete development as an artist. If you go back to 1970, the first albums are kind of, you know, they're powerful too, but they're a young person writing. They're very folk.
One day I walk in flowers. One day.
By the end of that period, he's become sort of this quasi-new wave artist, you know, musically. He's developed that. He's become an activist. He's crystallized his spirituality, becoming openly Christian. And even the way he's Christian kind of changes. But we see in that span of time his entire body of concern. From Tierra del Fuego to Ungava Bay, the history of betrayal continues to today. The spirit of almighty voice, the ghost of anime, called like thunder from the mountains. You can hear them say it's a stolen land. Stolen land. He develops in that period of time all of the tools that he'll then use for the rest of his career. And I think I say in the book that had his career ended with, say, World of Wonders, that he made no more albums, we would have a complete cycle of the development of an artist.
Then you cover another period called Maturity from 1991 to 2011. And that covers 8 different records. Tell me about that era.
So in that era, the first many albums he did, I can't quite remember how many, he did with a man named Eugene Martinek. They started out together. And he goes through a transition toward the end of that first period with Jonathan Goldsmith and Kerry Crawford as producers. And in this middle period, he starts working with, well, he actually works with T-Bone Burnett for a couple of pretty profound albums in there. And then he switches and works with Colin Linden, who he's still working with. And in that period, I don't know that the Bruce's evolution or as a musician is quite as pronounced in that period. He seems to have become himself. But he sort of does what he's already done in a bigger way, and he expands on things, and he kind of goes back to many of his roots, or the roots music in his music. She's got a mango in the garden. Is just sort of he has all the tools and he's expressing it as a fully formed artist during that period.
So now we've come to the era that we're calling the present. And you have 3 records listed there, starting with the uniquely titled Bone on Bone, which actually is a very autobiographical title for him.
It is.
Explain to me a bit what that's all about.
Bone on Bone is a reference to the arthritis that Bruce has been suffering for who knows how long. He's only become public with it. This is the other remarkable thing about his evolution as a musician, is that he is profoundly physically impaired. But when you go to see him play, you don't know. He is adapted, which is, I think, a sign of pure genius. He's using more tunings to compensate for the lack of reach that he just... his hands can't reach anymore in those ways. But there's no doubt when you hear him play, he's a master. And I think that part of that mastery is just demonstrating that even the loss of cartilage hasn't stopped him from expressing through that instrument. So Bone on Bone is a reference to profound arthritis that he's earned through 60 years of guitar playing.
Bruce's latest album is called O Sun, O Moon.
Yes.
And it harkens back to his earlier days, and somehow some people have compared it to his very first record. Mm-hmm. So what's the juxtaposition between those two records and a span of what do we have, 55 years of music?
Yeah. I hope it's not his last album, but it kind of sounds like it. It really bookends his whole collection. It's a roots record. It's produced by Colin Linden, and on the surface, it seems quite simple. You listen to it the first time and you hear beautiful guitar and wonderful lyrics. And then you start listening to it and you realize there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of instrumentation and just layering of sound. It's a gorgeous album. This is the perspective of a 78-year-old man looking back at his life. So it's remarkably different in that way from his first albums, but remarkably similar in the way... I'll give you an example. So on the new album, there's a song called... In fact, it's O Sun, O Moon. It's the title song. And it's a dream wherein the narrator goes to the pearly gates, basically, and walks in and, you know, sees the afterlife. And the chorus is...
O sun by day, O moon by night, light my way so I get this right. And if that sun and moon don't shine, heaven guide these feet of mine to glory.
You go back to early mid-career Dancing in the Dragon's Jaws album, there's a song in there called Footsteps, which is a similar song imagining life after death, or how one might want to be considered after they're gone. And the line from that song, Footsteps, is leave no footprints when we go, only where we've been a faint and fading glow. You have this new album that looks at stepping into the next thing, or transcending this life by walking out of it.
Well, this has been a pleasure. Mark Dunn, thank you so much for writing this book, You Get Bigger As You Go, Bruce Cockburn's Influence and Evolution. It's a really fascinating book, and I'm really happy to have had a chance to read it.
Oh, thank you for having me on, and I'm so glad that you've enjoyed it. Thank you.
M.D. Dunn is the author of You Get Bigger As You Go, Bruce Cockburn's Influence and Evolution. He spoke to Steve Gotcher. Find out more about Bruce Cockburn at wpr.org/beta.
War is horribly part of the human condition. And I think there is that sense that it kind of never goes away.
Coming up, Ed Park joins us to talk about his mind-bending novel, Same Bed, Different Dreams. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
I never knew what you all wanted, so I gave you everything, all that I